This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Boom! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. I'll get my mic fixed if you're watching on TV. All right, ladies and gentlemen, couple of quick things. Why is this mic doing this? All right, I'll just hold it here. I want to give a shout out to Moleberry Barbecue. If you didn't know, now you know, ladies and gentlemen, they have two locations, numero dos locations, delicious food. Jake and I love to gorge ourselves on the barbecue at Moleberry Barbecue. You can check them out at 11th and Cornhusker and 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burn-in sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, absolutely delicious, full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, get incredible sides, get fueled for lunch today, or make your dinner plans at Moleberry Barbecue, located again, as a reminder, 11th and Cornhusker and a 61st and Apples Way, just off of Highway 2. So I love to listen to all sorts of opinions. Opinions that agree with me, opinions that disagree with me. I'm always leery of people who are like, oh, you think like me. We should chat more often. Well, yeah, that's cool. But what about people who don't think like you? Like, we all have a certain bubble that we live in. Nobody's exempt from that. Some people, their bubble's a little bit bigger. Sometimes it's smaller. I try to avoid the echo chamber where everything I hear is just the same thing over and over. Because how do you learn? How do you adapt? How do you grow? How do you develop? And so a lot of times I'll just bombard Jake with all these motivational things or things that I find intriguing on how you build a program. Now, a lot of them apply to football. We got Kirby Smart. We got Nick Saban. We're about to play. But there's a couple of other interesting things. So we're going to fire through these four clips. They're all less than a minute. But I think that there's a lot of truth to how you build, whether it's a football program, a basketball program, a business, whatever it may be. And so I find these things interesting. Let's go ahead. Let's start with Kirby Smart, and then we'll just roll through these bad boys there, Jake.
Coach, how has Georgia become one of the most benchmark programs in college football?
Just hard work. I mean, we don't run from work. Our kids don't run from work. We go out there on Tuesday, Wednesday, and we hit the other day, and all the kids are like, Coach, we got to keep doing it. It's who we are. And as long as you don't have entitlement in your program, you got a shot. And right now, we don't have that. It's creeping. Games like tonight make it that way, but we got a lot of humble guys.
All right, congratulations on the win, Coach.
Thank you so much to Georgia fans that came out. Awesome.
So I think that clip particularly stuck out to me, and I'm not trying to go backwards with this, but it made me think of Matt Rhule's press conference after the Minnesota game, said he was sick and tired of the entitlement in the program. And so to me, and I, you know, Matt Rhule's addressing this right now. We know that throughout this offseason, but this is like, man, this is a guy who does not have, I've talked about, I love the way Georgia plays. I love how they, you watch them, how they play, not just the talent and the recruitment, but how they play. It is a legalized violence with veracity type of mentality that not every team I watch has. Honestly, I don't see it with Alabama. I don't see it with a lot of other. I didn't see it with Texas this year. Yeah, maybe I don't like Texas, but I can still say, hey, they're playing with a legalized violence of veracity type mentality, or they're not. Georgia does. And so I thought that was interesting. Go ahead and roll on to, I think, Nick Saban on accountability and holding people accountable, or I think he says calling them out. Roll that clip.
And if you think that not confronting people who don't do the right things is helping your organization, you're absolutely wrong. You're absolutely wrong. You lose respect of the person who knows they're not doing it right, and you're not confronting them. And you lose respect of all the people who see you see it happen, and you don't say anything about it. And this is one of the biggest things that I have to deal with our coaching staff. They want to be friends with the players. They want to be buddies. But if you don't make them do right and you don't make them do the right things on and off the field, it doesn't matter. You're going to lose their respect.
Looking for a fun night out? K1 Speed puts you behind the wheel for an adrenaline-filled time you and your friends will never forget. Off the track, the fun keeps rolling with arcade games, great food, and drinks. They even have private party rooms for your birthday parties and corporate outings. Race hard, laugh harder, and claim your spot on the podium. K1 Speed. More than racing, it's an experience.
I call it being willing to be the bad guy. Caring enough about somebody to tell them what they may not be doing right and what they need to do better. Because it's so much like as a parent. It's so much easier if your kid's not doing something right, rather than, hey, you need to cut that out. You might be punished, whatever. And then they throw a big fit. It's easier just to walk away. But does that kid learn anything? Do they have an opportunity to grow and develop? No, they don't. And they may not like you in the moment, but in the long term, like 10, 15 years down the road, especially when they become a parent, they're going to look back and appreciate it that much more. And that's how they grow and develop as a human in the meantime at a much better and more equivalent and efficient rate. It's the same thing in coaching. There are folks who just want to be friends with everybody, just want to be friends with, you know, coaches with players or whatever the case may be. I mean, you heard it from Nick, and I agree. That's just not going to work. It's not going to work. Next one.
Got more talent than anybody. You can see it. Cats talented as all get out. But what's the separating factor? When talent meets talent, talent is no longer enough. When talent meets talent, talent is no longer enough. Now it's about who has character. Now it's about who has integrity. Now it's about who's dedicated, who's committed. Now it's about who's going to show up on time. Now it's about who's willing to do extra.
I love that clip. I talk to people who want advice on their kids or how they get recruited or how they do whatever, how they find that edge, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. What I will tell them is a lot of kids at a young age, they're just more athletic. They're just faster. Well, at a certain point, other people are going to catch up. And at a certain point, you're going to start to play teams that are equivalent talent than you. And then you got to be better at football. You got to be better at blocking and tackling. You got to have inside hands and driving the feet and lower pad. And you got to be willing to work harder and longer. You can out-athlete and out-talent people until one day you can't. And then you have to be better. In basketball, you got to dribble, shoot, box out, move your feet, stay square a lot better. In baseball, you got your weight on the back foot, inside hands. Don't say elbow up. That doesn't do anything for little kids. It just confuses them when they're batting. Like, they got to be better at the actual technique, fundamentals, basics of the sport. Also, they got to learn how to compete. Learning how to compete is a skill that is developed over time. Some people are born with it more than others. But hard work beats talent when talent don't work. Well, you know what? Talent with developed skill beats talent without developed skill, and that's through hard work. Last clip. And this one hits home because I know what it's like, and I don't feel sorry for me. I'm not whining or complaining. I know what it's like to pay taxes in like 15 different states when you play in the NFL. I don't think I ever actually lost money. Go ahead and roll this about Sam Darnold.
For winning the Super Bowl, the winning team, each player gets $178,000. In other words, the Super Bowl isn't a part of their salary. And because the game was played in California, and California has a jock tax, and they look at duty days. So each team spent 7 days in the state of California. So those are 7 duty days, and they pierce your regular salary at 3.5%. So he has to pay... When you take into account he got the $178,000 plus his overall salary, he has to pay the state of California for spending 7 days there $249,000.
That's just so stupid.
I mean, yeah, but it ends up costing him $71,000 to go play in California. Now, if I'm the NFLPA, now you got to remember, it's probably even more than that because since he's in Seattle, he's playing against San Francisco 49ers. That's another day he's there. And he's playing against the LA Rams. That's another day he's there. So he's probably had like 9 or 10 duty days, or maybe even more than that in the state of California. So if I'm the NFLPA, I'm like, hey, we're not playing any more Super Bowls in California. We're just not doing it.
So he would have had 11, at least 11 duty days. I don't even know their preseason schedule, because for playing the Niners, they would have flowed in on Saturday, played Sunday. For playing, what was the other California team they mentioned? They would have flowed in the day before and played. He has at least 11. That doesn't even include, I didn't look at the preseason schedule. He lost money to become a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Now, nobody's going to feel sorry for him. But dude, Jake, say it with me. That's not ass a 7. That's not ass 8. That's ass a 9. All right, ladies and gentlemen, go Big Red. And always remember to throw the bones.